Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robert, and England's adopted son, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and as always, you can catch us on the web at ringsidereporter.com. If you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857, and we will be here till 8:30 tonight, where it's a hard out at 8:30 because the fights are on PBC. PBC on Fox, what is it, Fox Sports, right?
Fox Sports 1, and you can blame Jason for scheduling this because he is Al Heyman, you know.
Wow. Okay, but we'll be out of here at the heavyweight, it's like a heavyweight card, so three fights on there, I think, so it should be pretty good.
Yes, it's a heavyweight triple header, so there you go.
Today, we're going to talk about Tyson Fury. He's back, and we'll let you know how he did. The IBF strips Triple G of the middleweight title. Robbie, very broken up about it, but first.
I don't believe, you know.
You've broken up about it. I told you. See?
No, we'll talk about it.
You were in tears before the show. We had to control you.
Come on,
dude. You're broken up, man. He can barely even talk about it.
Somebody dropped the ball. Okay. Well, I'll have to give Tom a call tomorrow and find out what's up.
Friend of the show, by the way.
Yeah.
Jeff Horn versus Terrence Crawford for Horn's WBO welterweight title. This was on ESPN Plus.
Plus.
Terrence Crawford defeats Jeff Horn via knockout in the ninth round. Let me tell you what, at no point was Horn even close in this fight. He was trying. I mean, you could see he was trying, but he just couldn't figure out Terrence Crawford. I had Crawford winning every round until the fight was stopped. Crawford knocked Horn down in the ninth. Horn got up and then just got followed up by a barrage of punches by Crawford that led Robert Byrd to step in and stop the fight. You know, Horn's corner said that the stoppage was premature, and honestly, I can see that. He didn't look overly hurt to me when the fight was stopped, but, you know, that being said, there was no point in this fight going on. I mean, it was pointless. Horn was getting beat in every possible way. There was absolutely no way he was going to win this fight. Even if he landed like a big haymaker, he wasn't winning this fight. He was barely competitive, and he's a good fighter, but he wasn't. I mean, this was just levels, completely different levels. Right now, man, I would make Crawford the favorite over everyone in the welterweight division, with the exception of Errol Spence. Beeb, what did you think about Terrence Crawford here?
Well, we already knew that he was the better boxer. We already knew that he was the faster guy. We already knew that he had better footwork. And we already knew that he was just the all-around better fighter. The thing that we had to see, and this is what I said before the fight, is we had to see that dog come out of him, because he was going to need it in this fight, because he was fighting a guy that is very unorthodox, very awkward, very physical, and has a very mauling type style. And you saw early on when Jeff Horn tried to get inside and muscle Terrence Crawford wasn't having it. He was the guy that would grab Jeff Horn just as well as Jeff Horn was trying to grab him. Jeff Horn would try to come forward, nudge him, push him back, shove him a little bit. Terrence Crawford would wrap him up, and he walked him back, and on occasion he would throw him. He would maneuver him around that ring. So the big thing here was I think Jeff Horn underestimated Crawford's strength, and I think a lot of people probably didn't factor that in before the fight. So, you know, Terrence Crawford, as I said before, can do it all. He's a flashy, finesse type fighter, a guy that has excellent boxing skills. But the most dangerous thing about Terrence Crawford is he can operate very effectively every area in terms of range in that ring. He can fight up close, he can fight mid-range, and he can fight on the outside. He can do it from the orthodox, he can do it from the southpaw. So he's just a very tough puzzle to solve. And if you add the physical attributes on top of that, right, as I said, he's got that mean streak, that dog in him, that killer instinct, and that guy that will go in the trenches when he has to. If it gets physical, he's not going to shy away from that. So that was the big difference in this fight. Jeff Horn had no conceivable advantage in there. And then people talked about Jeff Horn being the bigger guy. They looked to me almost to be about the same size, to be quite honest with you. Crawford looked filled out. He looked thick. He looked muscular. He looked physically outstanding in this fight. He looked like night and day. You could see at junior welterweight, he was much thinner, much flatter, a little drawn out. In this fight, he used giants. He was significantly bigger than he looked at 140. So I think Terrence Crawford just had too much all around. And I think once Jeff Horn realized that he couldn't bully and muscle him on the inside and push him back and use his physicality on Terrence Crawford, you could see that he was just mentally defeated after that. This was just a tough, tough night for Jeff Horn. There's nothing he could have done was going to save him from the outcome that we witnessed, that stoppage. And I'm glad the referee did stop it when he did, because you could see Jeff Horn was starting to get busted up. He was starting to have his mouth open. He looked tired. He looked hurt. And if that fight went on, he just was going to get more damage done to him. And like I always say, you know, live to fight another day. So I'm glad the referee stopped it. Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, that's the fight I think is that everyone wants to see now. I'm sure they're going to have a couple fights in between before that fight could ever get made. But that's our era's Hagler Leonard, without question. I better mention that, and I agree with him 110%.
And that's one thing Bob Arum mentioned, but one thing Bob Arum mentioned, and I thought about you right away, he said, and let me know if you agree with this, that Terrence Crawford is just as good, if not better, than Sugar Ray Leonard.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have an opinion on that. I think it's probably a little early to put him in that class, but it's not outlandish. Okay. It's not outlandish at all. When you look at just the eye test, and you look at the raw skill set of both guys. But one thing that you can mention about both men, because again, both guys, very flashy boxers, very skilled boxers, very athletic, very impressive boxing skills. But just as Crawford showed his grit and toughness last night, as flashy and as much finesse and as cutie as a boxer that Sugar Ray Leonard was, he could bite down on the mouthpiece, and he could be a killer, and he could fight a tough fight when he had to. Go back and look at that Tommy Hearns fight, the first one. When boxing failed Sugar Ray Leonard in that fight, what did he do? He had to make it a dog fight on the inside. He started pushing Tommy Hearns and muscling him around on the inside, started ripping that body, taking them legs away, started throwing the forearms in the chest. So in that regard, both of these guys, as skilled as they are, when the boxing doesn't work, they can go to the grittiness, the dogness, the toughness, and they could fight when they have to fight. And when, just like Sugar Ray Leonard, when he had somebody hurt, Terrence Crawford is an outstanding finisher. He goes in for the kill. He's not thinking twice before, about taking your head off when he smells blood. Sugar Ray Leonard was the same way. So I do see a lot of similarities between the two guys, to be quite honest. And there is a couple more wrinkles to Terrence Crawford's game, that with that being he can switch to southpaw. He moves a little bit more than probably sometimes Sugar Ray Leonard does. I think overall, I think it's a good comparison. And I don't think it's outlandish. I still think there's time that we need to see, Sugar Ray Leonard titles in five different weight classes. He's been in some mega fights. He's had some epic fights over his career. Terrence Crawford hasn't achieved those things yet. He's got three titles in three different weight classes, but he hasn't had that marquee opponent yet. And Ray Leonard had four or five marquee opponents. So I'm not saying that Terrence Crawford won't do well when he does have a marquee opponent, but he still has to have that marquee opponent so we could make a fair assessment in terms of resumes for Sugar Ray Leonard and him. But eye test wise, absolutely. I could see that eye test wise, but they're very comparable in terms of skills.
Notorious VC in the chat says that beating Jeff Horn doesn't really tell us a lot of, doesn't really tell us much, to be honest, about Terrence Crawford. I got to be honest, man. I disagree with that. And Jeff Horn, I mean, it's not like he sucks. He's a good fighter. He's not Terrence Crawford. He's not Errol Spence, you know, but I think he can make, I mean, I think he can beat some guys in the division. I think he's a top quality fighter. He's not a bum.
Well, let me say this. Jeff Horn wasn't going to win this fight last night, but the big concern going in is, could Jeff Horn make this fight ugly? Could he make it sloppy? Because you throw Jeff Horn in there with just about anyone else, and he's going to win, lose, or draw. He's going to give you a tough fight. But Terrence Crawford, from start to finish, won every second of every round in this fight and dominated as soon as the first bell rung. So Jeff Horn, in there with anyone else, is going to make them work, and he's going to turn it into a sloppy, ugly fight. Terrence Crawford is so good that he did not allow Jeff Horn to do that. So I give Terrence Crawford credit because he schooled Jeff Horn from start to finish. And he actually started bullying and out-physicalityed, if that's even a word, Jeff Horn. So, you know, you got to give him credit for that. His first fight in the division, fighting a big, strong welterweight, may not have been the best or most highly skilled fighter out there, but at the end of the day, he has a style that is very tough to deal with, and you know, he could make any fight look ugly. And again, we have to give Terrence Crawford credit for not allowing that to happen.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on the size difference? Everybody talked about coming in that Terrence Crawford was going to be so much smaller. Jeff Horn was huge. Even Bob Arum had alluded to this. Jeff, where do you see the size difference between Jeff Horn and Terrence Crawford? I got to be honest, there was no size difference to me.
No, I didn't see it. Like I said earlier.
Yeah. I thought earlier Terrence
in my breakdown,
Crawford,
I don't think that there was a significant size advantage at all.
No, not at all. I mean, he looked just as big as Horn, if not, you know, I don't know if he was bigger than Horn, but they both definitely looked the same size. I mean, there was no, I didn't notice anything like that. So also too, we had a Twitter question from Dwayne on Twitter. Do you guys think Crawford should leave Top Rank if they continue to put his fights on the ESPN app?
Yes.
He said,
yes.
Hard to promote. America missed a great fight. This can't be good for the sport in the long run.
I think this whole app idea absolutely sucks. All of these fight, I don't care how much money ESPN is giving Top Rank, but these fights are supposed to be on our TVs, not on our telephones. I think this whole thing sucks. This fight, regardless of how it turned out, this fight should have been on our TV last night.
Well, like I said earlier when we were talking, Eric, when you put fighters on an app, you're not going to showcase them to the widest audience possible, as Robbie just mentioned. You can't build a star by putting them on an app. Anthony Joshua is not going to be fighting on DAZN. He's going to be on Sky box office pay-per-view. The end game for every fighter that wants to be a superstar is pay-per-view. Pay-per-view, whether you love it or hate it, I actually look forward to that one or two pay-per-views a year, because it's like boxing Super Bowl. It's something to look forward to. You get goosebumps, the adrenaline flows. It's a special occasion. It's like a boxing holiday for most people. That's how I look at it anyway. It's my opinion. So if you're going to sit there and showcase a guy on an app with limited visibility, there's no way he can get to that light at the end of the tunnel, which is pay-per-view. Everybody wants that Floyd Mayweather blueprint, that Anthony Joshua blueprint, that Canelo Alvarez blueprint. That's where you want to be. The biggest earners in the sport have all been pay-per-view stars. No one's going to be a superstar fighting on ESPN Plus, with all due respect, and fighting on DAZN. This app is great for mid-level guys who are kind of decent fighters, but they're not upper echelon elite type fighters. But to put Terrence Crawford on this app and showcase him on this app, you're not going to build him to be a pay-per-view star. And this is why, again, I want to talk, make a point that we talked about earlier as well, Eric. This is why Showtime's killing everybody. And I don't care what anyone says. This is why Showtime's killing everyone. Because they're hitting all the bases. They have live fights on their network. They have streaming services on their app and on their YouTube channel. And they have pay-per-view. Whereas HBO does not have a streaming service. They have live fights and they have pay-per-view. ESPN has live fights and they have an app, but they don't do pay-per-view. So to maximize a superstar fighter's earning potential, he's got to fight on pay-per-view. There's no questions asked about that. Conor McGregor does not make $100 million fighting on an app, fighting on just a basic network. So the end game, as I said, is pay-per-view. And I don't know how you can build to that end game and work up to that end game by showcasing a superstar fighter like Terrence Crawford, who I believe is the best fighter in the sport right now all around. I'm not a pound-for-pound guy, but I think all around skill set-wise, this guy is the most highly skilled fighter in the game. And the reason why I put him over Lomachenko is, again, that dog factor, that grittiness. In the back of my mind, I'm still asking the question, what happens if Vasyl Lomachenko is in another fight like he was with Orlando Salido? What if someone else brings that ruggedness, that awkwardness, and even that dirty style? And he fell and wilted under that pressure, and he had no answers for that. Whereas Terrence Crawford, you try that stuff on him, he was throwing Jeff Horn. He actually threw Jeff Horn on the canvas yesterday. He was pushing him back. He had his forearm underneath his neck. He was grabbing him and throwing him into corners. He wasn't going to deal with any of that shit. Vasyl Lomachenko doesn't have that punching power, that killer instinct, and he doesn't have that raw dog grittiness that Terrence Crawford has. And that's why I think Terrence Crawford is a better fighter than Vasyl Lomachenko, because I still don't know what's going to happen. If someone roughs Vasyl Lomachenko up again and makes a sloppy, ugly fight, we already know he's got that dynamic boxing ability, the flashiness, his hand speed, the foot speed, the balance, but he doesn't have the greatest punching power, have that raw dog killer instinct, mean streak dog in him, that Rottweiler terrier, that pit bull terrier that Terrence Crawford has, and that's the difference.
There you go. All right. Beep, it's time.
Well, she's not here, so I'm going to have to do it.
Can we get Elena?
But I've been practicing it.
Oh, this is terrible.
Here it goes. Chugga, 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 chugga. That was the best
oh,
one.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Jesus. That was horrible. That was absolutely horrendous. I would rather listen to puppies drowning than to listen to that again.
Hey, that Eric, where's Elena? Can she do it?
That's terrible. Terrible. Train wreck of the week this week, Terrence Crawford, ironically enough, for refusing to talk with the Australian media. Crawford and his team stated that they won't be talking to any Australian media for the fight because they didn't want their words twisted. And we wonder why Crawford's not a bigger star. You know, the bottom line is everybody was talking about this last week where he's not being promoted. They're putting him on the app and blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is not Aram's fault. It's Crawford's fault. This isn't the first time he's refused to talk to media. I've already did the same thing in his hometown. You know, this is his fault. He doesn't talk. He has no personality. None. You got to start selling yourself, my man. You have to talk to people.
According to him, he'd like to put the reporters in the ring because he doesn't want to deal with them at all.
That's it. I mean, what, you know what? That's the thing, though. It's like you think about it and you think about what he's, you know, like Deontay Wilder. You know, some people think he's a blowhard. Some people think he's a great guy. Some people think this or that. But they tune in to hear what he has to say. It doesn't matter whether people love you. Doesn't matter if they hate you. Just get them to watch you. Talk to the Australian media. Let them twist your words around. Who cares? You know what I mean? Maybe then you'll be marketable. But right now, he's just not marketable. He's not. you know.
Can I just interrupt real quick? And I,
sure.
And I love Andre. I love Andre Ward.
Yes.
I love him to death. I love him to death. He's probably my favorite fighter right now in this modern era. I love the guy. But he made a statement, and I didn't agree with it. I respectfully disagree with what he said. He was critical of a reporter that asked Terrence Crawford, what do you need to do to be a big star or whatever? And he said, well, you know, you guys are the media. You guys should promote these fighters. You guys should write about these fighters. And to some degree, we do that. People who do write articles about fighters, they are promoting them. But at the end of the day, it's not our job to take a fighter, put him on our back, and promote that guy. We're not people who are writers, not me. I'm not a writer anymore. I used to be a writer. But people who are writers, people who do YouTube channels, yeah, we talk about them, and that is promotion for them, without question. But we're not the people scheduling the PR appearances for these guys. We're not the people who are scheduling the interviews for these guys. We're not the people who are working in the promotion. But we don't have a vested interest directly with a specific fighter or a writer, or for that matter, or an analyst or whatever. So it's really not the press's job to promote the fighter. The fighter should have an ability to learn how to promote himself. The promotional team gives him that avenue and gives him that vehicle, that conduit to promote themselves. So they got to get in that car and they got to drive that car. You can't have the car and just sit there and not turn the key, start it up, and put your foot on the gas pedal. You can't just sit there and do that. And you can't expect the press to do you any favors. Because, again, the press is going to criticize you when you do wrong, and they're going to praise you when you're right. Everyone it falls under that same scrutiny. And when a fighter gets mad because someone in the press is critical of them and they don't want to talk to them, but that, they have to understand that comes with the territory. Now, I could see if someone's blatantly trying to sabotage somebody, there's a blatant bias against somebody. But at the end of the day, we're not supposed to be hanging out with these guys, or the press isn't supposed to be hanging out with these guys, going through McDonald's drive-thru with these guys, riding on their jets, going to their parties. And, you know, they can do that, but at the end of the day, they're going to lose credibility amongst their peers, because you cannot be objective in how you cover that fighter if you get too close to them. So at the end of the day, it's not the press's job to promote you. It's not the press's job to be your friend. It's good that you have good relationships with fighters. It's good to be friendly with fighters. It's good to be able to call them up and have a really friendly, amicable conversation with them. But at the end of the day, it's not good for you or the fighter, because it's going to make you look like you're biased towards that fighter. And it's also going to make it, you know, put you in a situation where once you start writing something bad about that fighter, then obviously the relationship's going to sour. It's better to just be in the middle of the road when it comes to that.
Yeah, I mean, is he really that thin-skinned that he can't take some criticism? You know what I mean?
Yes, he is, Eric. Yes, he is.
Andre Ward thinks it's the press's job to be his promoter. So why? So if the press is going to be his promoter, then they should get the same amount of money that Top Rank is getting. They should get a cut of that then.
Yeah, right.
Why would someone willingly promote somebody if they have a vested interest in?
Listen, I mean, there's nothing, you know, Aram can really do with that. I mean, put him on ESPN, put him on ESPN Plus. Doesn't really matter where you put him. He's been on HBO. Yeah. He's been, you know, he's been showcased. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about him. Outside of our little circle, nobody cares about him. It just is.
I care about him, but I don't matter.
But you matter to us. So there you go. Jose Pedraza versus Antonio Moran. This was on the undercard. 10 rounds lightweights. Pedraza won a unanimous decision, 96-94 on all cards. Jose Benavides versus Frank Rojas. Benavides knocked him out in the very first round. And Shakur Stevenson stopped Ayla Mesquita in the second round. Now, let's go to the big card here. Showtime. Leo Santa Cruz versus Abner Morris for Santa Cruz's WBA Super Featherweight Championship. Honestly, this fight was a lot like the first one. It was a war. Santa Cruz wins a unanimous decision by the scores of 117-111, 115-113, 116-112. This was a good fight. It was just like the first one, but it was the same fight we saw, you know. I thought Santa Cruz was a pretty clear winner, just like their first fight. This was a good, entertaining fight, but not sure it really did anything for either fighter, honestly. I think there were better options for both of them out there. Robert, what did you think of this fight?
I already saw this 3 years ago. It was an instant replay. And I'm glad the right guy won, because now he gets to fight Gary Russell, and that's going to be a more entertaining fight. We finally get to see Gary Russell in against somebody, minus Lomachenko, of course. But we finally get to see Gary Russell actually face some stiff competition. And he can't use his hands as an excuse. He can't use a long layoff as an excuse. You've got to get that fight signed. The right guy won here, and I'm looking forward to Gary Russell and Leo Santa Cruz, because I think that's going to be a very competitive fight, and we're going to find out. Frankly, we're going to find out what Gary Russell's made of. I already know what Leo's capable of, but we're going to find out what kind of fighter Gary Russell really is, in my opinion.
That's a good fight. That's a real good fight, and I hope it comes off. B, what were your thoughts on this fight?
Here's the problem with this matchup. Are the fights entertaining? Yeah. Are they good fights? Yeah. But these guys are going to fight 10 times, and Abner Meyers is going to lose probably 9 out of the 10 times. Because here's the thing. Leo Santa Cruz is just a bigger, stronger, better version of Abner Meyers. They're very similar, but Leo Santa Cruz is just bigger, better, and stronger. And because of that, it doesn't matter how similar their styles are, how good both guys are. You know, they have pretty identical styles, but at the end of the day, Santa Cruz is just better. He's just bigger, stronger, and better. And he's longer. He just, there's no way that Meyers could really win unless he catches him with a punch that he's not ready for, like a shocking one punch surprise knockout. But that's not going to happen. So I don't think that this fight really, really mattered, really made sense. Wasn't like the first fight was a close fight at all, in my opinion. It seems like there's a token judge in every fight now that's going to throw a 114-114 scorecard in there, or a 115-113 scorecard, regardless of how the fight went. This was a 117-111, maybe 116-112 if you wanted to be a little generous. There's no way this was a 115-113 fight. And just like the first one, one judge added a draw. So because they have one of those close scorecards in there, did that justify a rematch? The other two scorecards that were 117-111, that was an accurate description of the fight. And that was an accurate description of the first fight. So just because you have a 114-114 scorecard and 115-113 scorecard in the first fight and then in the second fight, that doesn't justify a rematch, in my opinion. Just because both guys have exciting styles, Leo Santa Cruz is just better. And I think we already found that out in the first fight, and we weren't going to learn anything different in this rematch. So that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that, like I said, man, I want to see these guys fight different people. There was nobody clamoring for this rematch to begin with, and it's not like it wasn't a good fight. It was a good fight. It was a good fight. It was entertaining, and but again, there was just better options for both. It just did nothing for either fighter.
But you knew who was going to win. Right. You already knew who was going to win. And you left this, the lasting impression that you were left with was, as you said, bring on Gary Russell from Santa Cruz.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's it. You know, I mean, that's really all that's left, because he should have been fighting Gary Russell this time. He shouldn't have been fighting Abner Meyers again.
I was about to say that. No. Gary Russell last night.
Yeah, exactly.
The Gary Russell fight is more intriguing because there's more questions that can be answered. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a crazy fight too, Santa Cruz and Gary Russell. That's a good fight if that happens. It sounds like that's going to be the next one, man.
I want that before the year's over, guys.
Yeah, that's a good one, man. So let's talk about the undercard here. Jermell Charlo, versus Austin Trout for Charlo's WBC junior middleweight title. Charlo wins a majority decision over Austin Trout by the scores of 118-108, 115-111, and 113-113. How they got a draw with two knockout fight, I got no idea, man. I don't know. Somebody was getting paid. I don't know. Two knockdowns.
How
the
in the world can you do that? My God.
Well, now they're going to have a rematch.
No.
It was 115-111. If you didn't count the knockdowns, it would have been 115-111. They had it for Trout. If you didn't count those knockdowns, because those were 2 10-8 rounds. How about that?
And the one judge who had it a draw scored 7 consecutive rounds for Trout. What kind of fight was he watching? Now look, I love Austin Trout. Austin Trout has had a wonderful career, but seriously, he clearly lost that fight.
Yeah, I would go along with that. Honestly, Jermell Charlo could have been the train wreck of the week for his walkout outfit. He looked like the cowardly lion from the Wizard. It was bad. But as far as the fight goes, the fight was all Charlo. Austin Trout definitely had his moments and was able to land shots, but Charlo just came forward, put a lot of pressure on Trout. Charlo knocked him down twice, as we noted. But, you know, honestly, they were really flash knockdowns, and that first knockdown was really based on a slip. I mean, he hit him.
I don't even think that was a knockdown, the first one, because it looked like he slipped already.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, because he did slip.
Didn't even look like a knockdown.
And he hit him on the way down. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Well, he hit him, and then afterwards he was moving backward, and like a second or two later, that's when he slipped and fell. So he already had, and then he was moving backward, and as he moved backward, he tangled his legs. And then he fell. So the referee thought that maybe it was a delayed reaction from the punch, but it wasn't a delayed reaction from the punch. It was because he twisted his legs and tangled them up, and he lost balance and he fell. So whether that first punch was thrown or not, possibly that first punch caused him to want to move backward as a defensive move. But regardless, he was going to fall no matter what.
Yeah.
Because he was just his legs.
You know, this is a case where instant replay in boxing would come in handy, because the referee could look at the monitor and go, oh, that's not a knockdown, you know.
That's true. That's very true. You know, for me, overall, I was really impressed with Charlo. He went 12 hard rounds. He looked really good, especially against a veteran fighter like that. And this is kind of like, I think this is what Charlo needs. Charlo needs to get in there with fighters that are going to give him some rounds, you know, where he's not going to take him out right away, where they're, you know, somebody where they're going to go the distance with him. Give him a rough fight, give him different looks and that kind of thing. So I thought it was a good win. I thought it was a really good win for Charlo. After the fight, he called out Jared Herd. And
I can't wait.
White man, but I can't wait to see it. I've heard different stories, like Jared Herd may be looking at Kell Brook for a fight next or something like that, but in which is, I like the fight. But I mean, if that happens, it happens. But
no, I can't wait. Jared Herd and Charlo. Sign me up.
Yeah, exactly. Beav, what are your thoughts about that fight, Jared Herd and Charlo?
I'm really high on Jared Herd, man. I just think this guy is, like I said, he reminds me of Antonio Margarito, but with more polish. He hits harder. He's physically stronger, I think. He just looks like an upgraded version of Antonio Margarito. And I think his size and his strength and his just physical conditioning and his power. He's not the prettiest guy in the world when it comes to his boxing ability, but he just wears guys down. And that Jermell Charlo I saw last night, who was coming forward and was being very aggressive, I think that, you know, favors Jared Herd's style a little bit. That plays right into his strengths. And I just think that Jared Herd's going to beat Jermell Charlo, but it still would be interesting. I'm not saying it would be easy.
I think Jared Herd wins that fight. I can't wait. Let's get it going.
He can mentally break him down. Because I will tell you this. Charlo was winning the fight clearly yesterday, but he looked frustrated. And you could see he was fighting off of emotion. It's almost as if he was trying too hard to get the knockout. And because of that, I think he reached in and lunged in and opened himself up to counter shots. And I think Trout took advantage of that. The problem with Trout is he just never plants his feet and really holds a strong stance. He never, he can make you miss and he'll make you pay a little bit, but he just doesn't have that presence, presence of there, that appearance of strength in there. He always looks like throwing those get off me type punches. They may be scoring blows, but they're not punches to hurt you. They're punches just to touch you. And that's the problem with Austin Trout. He seems like he's kind of frail, like gets pushed back a lot and he looks frail sometimes. He looks like guys are muscling him and moving him backward. And he just doesn't hold his ground and plant his feet. And he makes you miss, he makes you pay, but he doesn't make you pay enough. You know what I'm saying? He makes you pay a little bit, but he's not hitting you and hurting you and stopping you in your tracks. He's not making you think twice about going back at him after getting hit with a counter shot. And that's always been the problem with him.
My question would be, should Austin be continuing, or is it time for him to find something else to do? Because I don't see him ever winning a top-level fight anymore.
No, he's done. He's done. I think that, listen, can he beat some guys? Yeah, he can beat some top 10 guys. He's Austin Trout. Of course he can. Why continue to fight, though? There's nothing left to prove. You know what I mean? The guys are a little bit younger, a little bit faster. I just don't think he has anything else to prove.
Well, he's not going to get better. He's just going to continue to decline.
Right. So, yeah, that's the other point.
Because he openly said last night, I'm not done. I'm going to keep fighting. And I don't know if that's a good idea.
Well, they always ask him after the fight, which is a horrible idea. You know, is this it for you? It's a horrible idea.
We got to understand something. These guys are born with a special mindset, a special gene.
Right.
That they're just fighters. And for them to just walk away and not and just that, have that fighting spirit just disappear overnight on them, it's hard. Even Andre Ward retired. He's still talking about wanting to, like, you can tell when he's being interviewed, he's kind of like, you know, he misses it. You can tell.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Reese Mack in the chat says, any info on how well or badly did the ESPN Plus app sell? We don't know. We don't know. And I don't know that we're going to get any info on that as far as, like, ratings-wise, what that fight did on the ratings. Babe, let me ask you, because you have the app. Can you watch different things on there? Like last night, or is it just a channel? So like last night we had, the live fight on there. Were there other live sports to watch on there at the same time?
You know, I didn't check. I think that you can.
Okay.
I think that you can.
All right. Very good.
I can research that for you. Can't say, without question, that's a yes.
Because if that's the case, they could actually tell us how many people watched the fight. You know what I mean?
Well, that's another thing I was going to say. Is there any way of tracking the views on this app? Because it's not like regular television where you have the Nielsen rating. How do you judge? How do you assess the view count on this app?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. And I'm wondering if we'll know those numbers and if they'll release those numbers.
No. No, we'll never know.
Yeah, I don't see how they can figure that out.
Yeah.
How can you track how many people? You have to track how many people have the app downloaded and how many of them will watch it. Like, that's another thing, too. How do you measure a fighter's success by fighting on this app? How do you gauge it? Yeah. How do you gauge what fights are success, what fights not success?
Yeah, you're certainly not going to get popular.
I'm glad I didn't do it. That's all I can say.
I'm on the app right now, Eric.
Uh-huh.
And the only live event they have right now is the Bandits versus Spirit.
Okay. It's
ESPN National Pro Fast Pitch. So I'm thinking that's some type of softball, I'm guessing.
Wow, well, that's wonderful. That's worth its weight in gold right there. That's worth your $5.99 right there, $4.99.
No, thank you.
The beautiful thing about this app, like I told you, is they have this bottom here where it says on demand. And it has best of boxing on there.
Yeah.
You pop that open, you can see Ali, you can see Sugar Ray Robinson fights, Ezra Charles. You can see Rocky Marciano, Sugar Ray Leonard. So they have a library of like 80 fights with all old legends. Like I was watching Sugar Ray Robinson versus Joey Maxim this morning. So that in itself, that's I don't know, is that worth, if you pay the $49.99 up front, you save $10 a year. So it works out to be like $4 a month, $4.16 a month. Is that worth it? I don't know, because then you have those 30-30s too. That's a good show on ESPN. So I'm starting to really look at this and think about, do I want to get this? I don't know. I'm considering it. I still don't like the fact they're putting, like, you know, marquee elite fighters on there and try to showcase them on there. But I do like some of the archive stuff that they have on there. I will say that.
Interesting. Beeb, I see Brianna there. Is she willing to do the train wreck of the week? Just
yeah,
so
we'll
I can get that, like, out of my head.
The train wreck for us?
That terrible.
Chugga.
Oh, that was much better.
Thank
that
you.
Was, that was
thank
like,
you.
Angel sing, like angel singing as compared to Beeb.
Oh, we got to record that for when she's not around.
Terrible, Beeb. That was terrible.
They don't like when I do it. They say it sounds like a cat drowning.
All right, let's talk about across the pond here, Tyson Fury, the fight a lot of people have been waiting for. Tyson Fury versus Saphir Saphiri. Tyson Fury returns by stopping Sefer Saphiri after the fourth round. Saphiri did not come out of the corner in the fifth. This fight was all Tyson Fury, and Saphiri didn't even look like he wanted to engage in any action at all. This was a good comeback fight for Fury, but honestly, I want to see him fight a breathing opponent next. I knew the fight was gonna go this way at the weigh-in. Saphiri looked intimidated at the weigh-in. And if you saw the weigh-in, you know what I'm talking about. Tyson Fury at the weigh-in was trying to show off the size difference between the two. I mean, there was quite a size difference. He's a tall guy. So Tyson Fury actually picked up Saphiri as if he were carrying a bride across the threshold. But the more disturbing part of this whole thing is that Saphiri was happy to let him. At that point, I lost a lot of respect for Saphiri, and I knew he was going to get murked in there. And sure enough, he did. Beeb, Tyson Fury is your guy. You were responsible for him. What did you think of his performance here?
I don't want to be negative here, because I'm glad to see that he's back. And the reason why I'm glad to see he's back, because as he said, boxing gives him a purpose. So if he wasn't boxing, he'd probably be doing something he shouldn't be doing. And my biggest concern was, we've seen fighters take long layoffs before. And everyone has their vices. Maybe some guys have issues with drugs. Maybe some guys have issues with alcohol. Maybe some guys have, you know, mental issues. Maybe some guys have eating disorders. A lot of fighters have eating disorders because they're constantly starving themselves to make weight, and then they go on binges. This guy's got every single issue. Every issue I mentioned, he has. And he basically took every single one of those things I just mentioned and took it to the maximum level he could, in his layoff. And he abused his body to a level that few people do. And he had to come back from that. And that's a long journey. And he's still not there yet. Can he make it all the way back? I don't know. I mean, the guy's got some psychological issues. You can just tell by the way he talks in interviews that he's a little bit guarded. He's a little bit unstable. He's entertaining. I love him. But this was a sideshow. This was a farce. And I hate to say that because, you know, this is something that, you know, Fury needs. This is livelihood. I understand that. But at the end of the day, when you're picking a guy up at a weigh-in and cradling him like a baby, you're kissing somebody during the, you know, after the referee gives the fighters instructions, and you're basically playing around in there, and you're not even really fighting with a purpose, and you got an opponent in there that's offering up nothing, and you're just sitting there laying back, throwing your hands up in the air like it's some type of WWE spectacle. I don't think it does you any favors, you know. Funny because the crowd was cheering him on, a few boos here and there, but the crowd for the most part was cheering him on. They were eating it up alive. If he ever did that in the United States in Vegas or New York, he would have got booed out of the arena. So hopefully moving forward, You know, they get a better opponent, and it's not as much as a sideshow as it was yesterday. But at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you, he looked slow. He looked, his timing was off. He didn't look like he was putting a lot of, he's putting his body behind his punches. He just looked off. Maybe that was partially because of the weight, maybe it was partially because of the layoff. But I am still, again, very skeptical that he could ever regain that form he had when he was fighting Vladimir Klitschko weighing at 247 pounds. Okay, because he was still about roughly 30 pounds above that yesterday. And physically, he looked horrible.
Yeah, he didn't look good. He didn't look good at the weigh-in.
And again, he looked, when he's throwing those right hands, he looked horrible. The jab was okay in spots. His timing was off. He was trying to load up with some shots, and he missed miserably. He landed like one uppercut, and then Safari decided he wasn't going to continue. I don't know, man. I would investigate Safari. I would maybe consider holding up his purse because, again, I wasn't in there taking the shot, but I think that was like the only meaningful, significant punch that was landed in that fight. And if that was enough to make you not want to continue, I have to question whether or not you were there just for the payday. Well, obviously, you were there just for the payday, but you got to cover that up a little bit. You got to at least play along that you want to try and win the fight, whereas this guy was in there with no intention of trying to win this fight.
Yeah, none.
It was very, it was clearly evident of that. Clearly evident of that was just, that was the case.
What would you have done if your Safari and Tyson Fury went to pick you up at the weigh-in?
I would push him off me. I wouldn't allow it.
We'd have a fight.
I'm not gonna let him up, man.
We would have fought right there on stage.
I don't know if I would square off with Tyson Fury, but I'd probably have to pick a chair up or something. I don't know if I can go one-on-one with him, but if he tried to pick me up, but I would push him off me.
Yeah. I mean, you're over there kissing the guy after the fight.
I would pull away. I wouldn't jump in his arms like I was like a kitten wanting to be cradled.
That's what he was. It was like a bride carrying him across the threshold. That's exactly how he was holding him.
Robbie would have done, but that's what I would have done. I would have pulled away.
You said Robbie would have jumped in his arms?
I don't know. I'm just saying. Robbie likes to be cuddled now and then.
Why are you? What's wrong with you, B?
He's a very affectionate person.
Cold as a fish. All right. Question from Raul Palmer, the guy who does our rankings. Where do we rank Tyson Fury after the win? Nowhere.
You can't rank him anywhere.
Rank him after that fight. Can't rank him.
He's got to be against a real opponent.
Yeah, whatever he was before the fight, he is after the fight.
Let me ask you this, Eric. How long does a lineal status last? Is there a statute of limitations on a lineal status? On a champion emeritus,
it doesn't seem to be.
No, I think when you retire, I really do because.
I mean, but that Tyson Fury we saw yesterday, does that guy look like the lineal champion? I mean, in terms of so for all intents and purposes, yeah, he is the lineal champion. Okay, technically.
Yeah.
If you're following
chronological
order,
no
that he never did lose a fight in the ring.
Never lost.
But then that's true. But does that really matter now when you look at who was in that ring yesterday?
Yes.
That guy wouldn't last one round with either Joshua or Wilder. And again,
no.
Look at guys like Floyd Mayweather take 2 years off, 2.5 years off. Sugar Ray Leonard took 3 years off. You know, Andre Ward had long layoffs before. Mikey Garcia, long layoffs, year and a half, 2 years.
Well,
they come back.
They're retired.
They come back, though.
If they come back, they're no longer lineal.
I understand. But when they come back, they look a lot better than that. They don't let themselves go to that level. So, in theory, yes, he's the lineal champion. But he didn't look anything close to a champion last night in terms of form.
No,
and
that guy ballooned up to about 350, 400
pounds.
That's what I'm saying.
How much significance can we really put in that? Because when you have a guy who's a lineal champion, if for whatever reason he walks away from the sport or he gets stripped or whatever, does that mean everything else stops in that division? No, guys have passed him. And in a lot of cases, guys will pass the lineal. like Canelo Alvarez was the lineal champion at middleweight. So being a lineal champion, how important is that? I think a lot of people put too much stock in that.
It's not very important. I don't think it's very important at all because, you know.
Yeah. Some people do.
Yeah.
Some people do.
Yeah, I don't think it was very important at all, to be honest with you. I mean, because like you said, I mean, look at Canelo. He's a 160-pound lineal champion, you know, who was fighting at 155. So, no.
Yeah.
On the other
card. Basically.
Go ahead.
It all comes down to who the guy is that has that title.
Yeah, I would go along with that. On the undercard of Tyson Fury, Terry Flanagan versus Maurice Hooker. Maurice Hooker scores the upset over Turbo Terry Flanagan by split decision. Scores were 115, 113, 117, 111 for Hooker and 117, 111 for Flanagan. Even though both fighters were unbeaten, I thought for sure Flanagan was going to win this fight, man. Congrats to Maurice Hooker. What a fight.
Awesome
fight. Fox Sports, Diego De La Hoya versus Jose Salgado. So this fight was supposed to take place about 6 months ago. This was the fight where De La Hoya came in 4 pounds over. He did it again as he came in a half a pound over, but this time he was able to lose the weight and the fight went off as planned. De La Hoya dominated Salgado in this fight. De La Hoya wins by TKO as Salgado's corner stopped the fight at the end of the seventh. A big thank you to our guy Rocco Lucente, who was there live and gave us a full report of the action. Thank you, Rocco. And also, too, he had a great breakdown of this fight. Go check it out on our website, ringsidereporter.com. And, of course, tonight, the fight's on Fox Sports 1, start at 8:30, and we'll be out of here at 8:30 so you guys can all check out the action. Let's see here. Let's go to the upcoming fights here. And let's see what we got on the docket here.
June 10th. Earl Spence.
We do. All right, so tonight at 8:30. Tonight at 8:30 on Fox Sports 1, Travis Kaufman versus Scott Alexander, 10 rounds heavyweights. Gerald Washington versus Wes Nofire, 10 rounds heavyweights. And Michael Hunter versus Iago Kiladze, 10 rounds heavyweights. And Ahmed Elbiali versus the dreaded TBA, they're light heavyweights. There you go. All right, June 14th. Is that, what is that, Robert? That's Thursday. From Indio, California, on ESPN, Mercito Gesta versus Robert Tito Manzanares, 10 rounds lightweights, easy for me to say, and Edgar Valerio versus Manny Robles III, 10 rounds featherweights. June 15th, from London, you can probably catch us on Box Nation or stream it or YouTube it later. Joe Joyce versus Richard Larty, 12 rounds for Joyce's Commonwealth heavyweight title. And Michael Page versus Michael Siak, 4 rounds light heavyweights. I don't know if that's Joe Joyce. Is that an Eddie Hearn guy?
Oh, no, he's actually a Ring Star guy. David Haye.
This is Michael Venom Page then, I think. Michael Venom Page of Bellator fame is going to face Michael Siak, maybe, 4 rounds in their light heavyweights. So Michael Venom Page, if you guys follow MMA, you'll know who he is. June 16th, from Frisco, Texas, on Showtime, Errol Spence Jr. versus Carlos Ocampo, 12 rounds for Spence's IBF welterweight title, and Danny Roman versus Moises Flores, 12 rounds for Roman's WBA junior featherweight. Javier Fortuna, also on the undercard, versus Adrian Granados, should be a good fight. On BN Sports, that same day on Saturday, Jose Zepeda versus Carlos Diaz, 12 rounds for the WBA lightweight eliminator. And Pedro, Little Pete Duran versus Daniel Luego, 8 rounds lightweights. It's been a while since I've seen Duran fight, so that'll be good. On Integrated Sports pay-per-view from Puerto Rico, Angel Acosta versus Carlos Buitrago, 12 rounds for Acosta's WBA junior flyweight title. And I think that may be it. Still looking. That is it. All right.
Yep.
So let's talk about the Errol Spence. Let's talk about the Errol Spence fight here for a minute. What you know, I haven't seen Carlos Ocampo, I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen him. It's in Texas, which is Errol Spence's hometown, and Frisco, Texas, right by his hometown, if it's not his hometown. Robert, does he have a chance? Does Ocampo have a chance to pull an upset here?
Well, they're actually holding this in the brand new Dallas Cowboys practice facility, and they got 14,000 seats already set up, and all the tickets are sold. I don't know anything about Ocampo. I've never seen him fight. The only one that I know of that's seen him fight that calls in here regularly is Nacho. And he said he said that Ocampo is a good up-and-coming fighter, but if you remember Nacho's past call, he said he's not ready for this level of competition. So I just wonder what kind of fight we're going to see. And this is, by the way, speaking of IBF mandatory, this is an IBF mandatory. So this is how you fulfill your mandatory, even though if you think the person is not ready for it, at least he's taking care of business, and this will allow him to fight bigger names afterwards.
Well, Robbie, to be fair, though, that's the only belt he has. So if he gets stripped, he's not going to have any more titles.
That is correct. I know that. You know. So, but Beeb, have you seen Ocampo fight? Have you? Because I don't know anything about him.
I'm going to look, though. I'm going to do some research.
Have they sold 14,000 tickets?
That's what they said on Showtime yesterday. All 14,000 tickets are sold out.
That's great.
Wow. Okay.
Good for Spence.
Yeah.
I hope they really push Spence and they really promote him well, because he deserves it. He's a tough, young, good kid. Seems like a real nice guy.
And he's a guy that doesn't ask for a whole lot, but he's been asking for a hometown fight, so this is what he gets.
Yeah. I like Spence. I just like the way he carries himself. I like the way he, seems like he's a hard worker in there. He's always in shape. He comes to fight every fight.
Absolutely. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phones here. 508. 508.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
It was happening, people. What's going on with you guys?
What's happening, Georgie?
What's going on with this weekend? We trade quality for quantity.
Hi, Coach.
I wasn't impressed. Huh?
I said, so, hey, Coach.
I don't know. There was nothing out there that really, make me remember any fight from the past. I don't know. The amount of resources that these people spend. And not really a good fight. I mean, you guys were impressed by any of the fights?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you're right. It was definitely a quality, quantity over quality fight. The best fight of the weekend, in my opinion, was the Morris Santa Cruz fight.
Santa Cruz, yeah. And it was on our TV.
Can I tell you what I think was?
What?
The Maurice Hooker versus Terry Flanagan.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that, but yeah, it sounded like a really good fight.
Yeah, that was a good fight.
It seemed, I don't know, man, for me, just like I watched them, but just like nothing memorable. I just like, I don't know, man. I could have a better use of my time doing something else than wasting time watching those bullshit. The Tyson Fury shit, oh my God. What the fuck was that?
Did you watch the Crawford fight, Georgie?
Yeah, I saw the mismatch, and I mean, like I said, bro, not impressed. Crawford, people talking about Sugar Ray Leonard. After his best position is what? Little Gamboa? When he took the last two belts to become undisputed at 140, he took it from that Undango dude, right?
Yeah.
And we seen Undango outclassed by this other dude who is an upcomer that I bet you not even 50% of the fucking pet or the boxing fans even know this dude was. So you start seeing the fucking theater and the one and make believe, and you know what I'm saying? It's just like, he's number one in the world. He's number one in the world fighting this type of opposition. I mean, as you see, we seen the skill. Don't get it twisted. We seen the skill. But from there to have Crawford, like, up there without competition, nah, that don't roll in my book. You know? I mean, shit was ridiculous, brother. Didn't like it at all. I just waited for fucking Crawford to face somebody that really can challenge him.
Don't worry, he will.
I don't think so. I think Bob's going to give him the fucking, what you might call it? He's going to give him the Bradley treatment.
You
know how Bradley fucking went without fighting DSG at 140? And Bradley just did the fucking recycle fight with fucking Pac and stuff? That's going to be fucking Crawford legacy. I bet you so. No big names. Some fucking dude we fucking don't know. I don't see him fighting nobody from PBC. And I mean, like, ever. Like, that bad. Like, fucking ever. I don't see that happening. I guess years gonna pass by and we're gonna see if I'm right or wrong, but until he don't fight somebody really that makes sense for me, I don't wanna, that's ridiculous talking about Sugar Ray and pound for pound and all that bullshit. What you got, fucking Little Gamboa on your record? That's what you got? And you the illest?
Yeah, that's you know what I mean. That's kind of his resume isn't great. It's not really
not.
He doesn't have the best resume out there. I'm not saying he doesn't pass the eye test. I'm not saying he's not a good fighter. I'm just saying that, you know, his resume is a little thin. I mean, he does have, like I said, 3 world titles, but hey, so does Adrian Broner, and I wouldn't put his resume up. You know what I mean?
Like,
I would like to touch about the situation with this ad with Bob that we cannot really go into the numbers, brother. That's really fucked up. If we cannot determine, like Beef said, that he got the fucking ad and then he already canceled. How many people you think did the same shit? I bet you 90% would have a fucking sign on that.
Yeah, probably a lot.
Yeah,
I'm
glad I didn't.
He lost money.
I called
it that. You think I'm gonna pay for that thing?
Don't you?
That was the only fight on that app that would make anybody sign out. And after it passed, what they got to offer now on that app? That thing is doomed.
Here's another big problem with that app. I think you just hit the nail right on the head. They don't have a fight schedule. So I don't know when the next fight is going to be on that app. So I'm just supposed to buy that and wait around for the next fight. What if they don't have a fight on for another 2 or 3 months? So
I don't want a fight on that app. I want it on my TV.
My whole thing is this. I'll just buy it for a month whenever they have a fight on that I like. That I want to
cancel it right away. Oh my God, this is yo boxing. I don't know, man. It's taking this weird turn.
Yeah.
Boxing is taking these really weird turns with this app situation, and just I don't know, man.
You've got Bob Arum doing this, and you got Eddie Hearn doing the zone crap. I mean, we're Americans. We want fights on our TV, people.
But this is the situation, Robbie. This is the situation. As the world turns and technology improves, TV is doomed. TV, as we know it, that the people, everybody go watch the fucking box and get brainwashed with the bullshit, that's done. Everybody getting their news from the internet. Nobody believe no fucking CNN, Fox, MSNBC, all that fucking CIA shit. Nobody give a fuck about none of that. People just watch what they want to watch, and they do it online. So, yeah, the future is to transfer boxing online, but not through these app shit. These people have to go with the YouTube TV. A big, huge platform like YouTube that most people really watch, that will make sense. But when they try to, you know.
Let me ask a question. What's the difference between the watching YouTube and watching it on an app?
Because YouTube, you don't have to sign up for shit like that. You have to put no money. Most people, they already used to the YouTube.
Not you can be on YouTube Red. Look at YouTube Red. That's all paid content.
I'm on a YouTube
right,
Red.
But that's you. It is YouTube nonetheless.
Cobra Kai, baby.
Cobra Kai rules, baby.
Yeah.
Cobra Kai gonna die. Sweep the leg.
That's what I'm saying. I watch like that Cobra Kai shit too. I'm a fan of it. I already seen the whole fucking, you know, I'm waiting for the second season. But what I'm saying is, I would not find out about that Cobra Kai on YouTube Red without you too, right or wrong.
That's right.
Cobra Kai rules.
So I mean, that's the past. Yeah. These people are gonna have to come, boxing promoters and the so-called advisors and fucking Al Heymans of the world, they're gonna have to come and kiss the YouTube ring. That's the bottom line. To transition from TV. Because there will be a transition, maybe not on my life, well, it could be on my lifetime. I give it like 20, 30 years stops before they say like a full transition. But
Georgia, do you have YouTube Red?
Fuck no.
Did you buy it? Did you get the free month? Did you do the free trial so you can watch Cobra Kai?
No. I be coding all these niggas. I stream everything. I am paying, you know what I said? Dude, I pay almost $300 on that fucking cable bill. Between the internet and the box and the this and the that, I ain't spending no more money on none of that. It's a cap. That's it. So when shit start coming out of TV, the things that I want to watch, then we start dropping the channels. Well, pretty much that's my call. I don't have too much to say. Kind of disappointed about the quality of the fights. Hopefully something on the horizon. Let me talk about Hurt. Because a lot of people talking about her side not going to be there against Charlo. And they talking about, like, her gets hit a lot. Though her got the chin to take that Charlo punch. Because he seems to be having a really good, solid chin. So what do you guys think about that?
I think it's a good fight. That's a good fight,
well,
man.
I think Lara is better than Jermell Charlo in my opinion. So I know we don't like to do combat math, but that's a very difficult style to deal with. And Herd pretty much deciphered that style. So I think if he can do that, then he can handle Jermell Charlo. That's just how I see it.
I think
we're going to see her era. I think this is her era. It's just going to be like, it's going to take a little bit of time because they pushed Lara a lot. And when and her was about to get robbed, he wouldn't fucking knock him down on the 12th round. Oh, Showtime was about to rob that motherfucker so quick. But thank God he fucking knocked him down and he got the victory. Because they knew he wasn't about to fight him again. Because that's what these people like to do, the fucking recycle defense. I don't want to see Maris no more. I don't want to see Trow no more. Trow is the type of person that I would love him to marry, like my mom or my sister or my niece, be a part of my family member. Because he's a good dude. But as a boxer, we cannot be recycling these fucking names no more. Why? Because this is what happened. Fucking Crawford took the two belts at 140 for the Inungu dude. Then this other up-and-coming fighter come and outclass Inungu. So that takes all the credibility from the fucking unification 140 stuff. You know what I'm saying? They recycle these people so much and keep the real competition down. And when the real competition comes along, everybody's like, oh, but what happened? What happened that we got fooled? That's what happened. Anyways, I gotta go. Everybody out there, support the channel. Give the thumb up. I'm outie.
See you, Georgie.
Thank you, Georgie. And thank you to Notorious VC in the chat who just made a donation. He wants to see Daniel versus Johnny on ESPN Plus. And you know what? I do too. Who wins in a rematch, B? Daniel or Johnny?
I'm going to say Johnny. He looks a little bit more in shape than Daniel does.
Yeah, Johnny, and I thought, you know, if we're fair about it, I thought Johnny dominated the first fight. I thought he really did. I thought he dominated
well,
the first
fight.
Well,
that crane kick doesn't work like second time around either.
No, it's only a surprise. It's a one-time thing. He proved that in Okinawa in the second movie. That crane kick doesn't work. Not against somebody who knows what they're doing.
Right.
That's old school, that crane kick.
That's right. Johnny's evolved. You see, he put that kid in the choke. He's evolved.
Now we have the beef kick.
He's come full circle. All right. Beef, where are the best callers from?
Oh, my God. What? Here we go.
614, you're live.
What's up, guys?
Hey, not much. Yeah.
What a weekend for Boston, man. Great show. Some of y'all nailed beats, broke down some of the fights, man. And what I was about to say? Oh, yeah. Georgie just threw me off, man. I was listening to Georgie, and he just threw me off. It seemed like he was a little upset about Crawford fans comparing him to whoever they want to compare him to. And Crawford right now, that's all he has, really, is his fans to help promote his ass. A lot of people had trouble this weekend with that damn ESPN app.
Well, it was one of the most ridiculous ideas that anybody ever came up with.
I went over a friend's house to try to get watch the fight. Yeah. His stuff was messing up. He ordered it. He actually bought it for the 7-day trial thing. It was messing up on him. So I had to go back to my house, and I actually found out that Box Nation was having it, was hosting it. So I actually got the Fire Stick. So I had to watch it through there, which was good. So I was like, oh, sweet. So I got Box Nation. So I clicked and watched it through there. But it was a lot of people I've seen online talking about they was having trouble with this ESPN app. But as far as Crawford being promoted like that in this fight, it was ridiculous. But Crawford did what he was supposed to do. I didn't think Crawford was going to do that, so I was impressed. I don't know about everybody else, but I was impressed with what he did against Jeff Horn because for one thing, he been criticized for fighting the smaller guy. I used to hear this, and I got tired of hearing that because I thought Thomas Delorme, Victor Postol, those were bigger guys. He outclassed them. His boxing IQ was superb.
And Ndongo was a
people was coming up with his. Excuse me?
I said Julius Ndongo was a huge guy.
Yeah.
Much
you
bigger.
That's another one. That's another one. It was like more and more excuses. So here is Crawford moving up in weight. Not only did he move up in weight to fight the bigger guy, but he bullied the guy. He bullied Jeff. Like, shoving him around, purposely doing it. That was the statement that he came. That's what you call making a statement. When you come into the weight class like that and you push Jeff Horn back, Manny Pacquiao couldn't do that. Manny couldn't do it. So obviously it shows you Terrence got some strength. And people is going to shouldn't start doubting if he's strong or not in this weight class. Because I thought Horn was going to go the distance. Now, some people predicted Horn would just get whitewashed and just get, you know, stopped. But I thought Horn was tough enough to make it through the fight. I thought he was going to do it. I didn't predict that. But Terrence Crawford impressed me with that. I thought he did real good. But as far as Georgie talking about his resume and all this other stuff, man, Terrence Crawford is a pound for pound, in my opinion, is the best. Julian Dongo beat, who was it, Troy Avitsky? I forgot his name, from Russia. I know what I'm talking
Troy,
about.
Yeah, Troy
former TV.
Right
now,
It was for the WBA title, am I right?
I think
that was the WBA title.
Knocked him out cold.
And knocked him out cold. Now, people don't remember, Crawford was trying to get that fight before Ndongo. So he didn't want to fight Terrence Crawford. They turned that fight down. So he was trying to keep that belt hostage. So it was good that Ndongo knocked him out because he didn't even want part of Crawford. It's not easy to be undisputed. These fighters ain't really trying to make these fights. It's not easy. So and become undisputed and move up. He got to be respected, man. He's one of the best right now. And I don't want that fight with him and Spence. Everybody talking about him and Spence, and it seems like you're going to have to make a choice because I like both of them, but I got to go with Crawford. I'm rolling with Crawford, but we're going to have to make a choice when them two guys meet because it's two boogeymans in the welterweight division now, and that's just simple. There are two boogeymans in that welterweight division, and I would love to see an undisputed fight, not them fighting with two belts or one. Clean out the division and just leave it with two. Because I think those two guys are just the best right now in that welterweight division. The Tyson Fury, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't like nothing about the Tyson Fury fight got me interested. It was a turnoff from the very beginning. It looked like two guys who was in love with each other, broke up, decided to fight each other, and when they got to the weigh-in, they had a change of heart. You know, when they looked in each other's eyes, it seemed like they had a change of heart, and he picked him up. I've never seen anything like that. And then the kissing on top of that, his name is Tyson Lip Gloss Fury. I'm like, are you serious? Like, that's crazy to me. I actually like Tyson Fury. But that right there was just like, is he really back? Like, I don't know, man. I just don't trust. He's good for the heavyweight division. I just don't trust that, man. I just don't know. And then you fight the guy, he's 5'11", and he was happy to jump in his arms, man. That messes me up. I said, was he smiling? Oh, my God.
What?
Goodness, man.
Manhood right there. Did he took his man? I lost all respect for that guy right there.
I feel you, man. I just don't understand that. The Charlo and Trout. I think Trout, man, I like Trout, man. It's time for him to give it up. I do like Trout. To me, Trout is like going through this gauntlet like Chris Algieri. I mean, am I wrong here? Chris Algieri was going through the gauntlet, man, of Amir Khan, Earl Spence, Manny Pacquiao. I'm like, dang, get a man a break. Trout is going through. I think he don't need no more title shots, man. If he still want to fight, cool, but get him some tune-ups or something. But I don't want to see him in another title fight right now. I'm Trout out right now. Trout is a wrap with Trout right now. I'm Trout out, man, with Trout.
Trout needs to be fried. That's the only way I'll take Trout, okay?
Remember that movie,
right?
Robert,
right.
And he picked up the elder officer. That's what that Tyson Fury thing reminded me.
We say officer and a gentleman.
Yeah, remember the officer and a gentleman?
Yeah. At the end of the movie. Yep.
Reminded me of Tyson Fury.
Yeah, Richard Gere and Deborah Winger. There you go.
Next one, Robbie, at the end.
Don't
look where we belong.
That's right. Yep.
You go spy.
Oh, man. So what I was about to say. Well, that was about it, man. That's all I got to say, man.
About
to continue listening to the show. Put my earphones back on.
There you go.
Okay. All right. See you later.
We love the calls from Titletown, baby. That's where the best calls come from. Titletown.
Well, it ain't Titletown no more.
We ain't talking about any title town no more. Son, we got a Major League Soccer team coming in. The Indians are in first place, Daddy. Tell me it's not title town.
Well, Mr. Games is going to be leaving town.
Doesn't matter.
That's right. He had a broken hand.
Was it his fault?
He had a broken hand. Area code 804, you're live.
Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's going on, you guys? What's going on, Robbie? How you guys doing?
Oh, no.
Yeah, man. Wow, it's pretty good fight, man. Hey, man, it was, you know, I thought it was going to be competitive with Jeff Horn and Terrence Crawford, and it was not that competitive, man. You know, I feel like it was a one-sided matchup. You know, I feel like Terrence Crawford definitely solidified himself as the pound-for-pound number one fighter in the world. You know, and I'm not being biased. You know what I mean? You know, my favorite welterweight is Danny Garcia, which he does have an amateur win over Terrence Crawford, for the record. They're 1-1 in the amateurs. So, yeah. You know, with that being said, man, you know, I truly think Terrence Crawford's going to make his staple in the, you know, in the welterweight division. Al Haymon still has the best welterweight because he has three as opposed to, you know, as opposed to one, or he really has four, you know, elite welterweights, you know, that being Sean Porter, Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, and Errol Spence. You know, and with that being said, man, I would love to see, you know, who reigns supreme in the welterweight division, you know, through the PBC. You know, you got Errol Spence fighting Ocampos coming up this weekend. I got Errol Spence winning by knockout in the fifth round. And then you have, you know, Sean Porter and Danny Garcia, which should be announced sometime very, very soon. If not, you know, sometime within the next, you know, week or two. You know, because I have the fight being in, you know, late August, early September is what I'm hearing so far for that fight to go down. With that being said, you know, Terrence Crawford, it was a one-sided decision. You know, and like I said, you know, Jeff Horn had no visible jab. I think that really messed him up, you know, going in head first. I think his trainer should be fired immediately, you know, effective yesterday. He should be fired. You can't bring a champion into a fight with no jab. What type of shit is that, man? It's awful, you know. But with that being said, you know, bigger and better things on the horizon for Terrence Crawford. Now Jeff Horn can go his own way with no belt and no promoter as of right now. He's not signed to Top Rank anymore. They pretty much used and abused him and pretty much got back the belt that he won for Manny Pacquiao before his contract ended. So it was a win-win for Top Rank, in my opinion. You know, with that being said, my personal opinion is I think Terrence Crawford is going to fight, you know, probably, you know, Jose Benavidez, David Benavidez's brother, probably fight him next. I think that would be a pretty good fight. A lot of people thought Herrera beat Jose Benavidez. That was a very, very close fight as well. You know, with that being said, you know, had some other fights on tap as well, Charlo versus Trout. You know, that was a great fight as well. You know, I pretty much think I had it scored 8-4 for Charlo. One of the judges had it a draw. That was an Adderley Bird ish decision. You know, it was pretty much Jermell Charlo gave the look on his face of disgust when they read out that score, man, of a draw. You know, and it was just like, what? He gave the Mayweather face when Mayweather fought Canelo. You know, but, you know, like I said, it's stuff like that. It ruins the sport of boxing. You know, it's not good for boxing at all. I think that judge should definitely be reprimanded for that. That was way, way, way. I mean, I don't even know how you can score that fight a draw, you know, after the knockdowns and, you know, Trout being visibly hurt in the later rounds as well. You know, but with that being said, you know, I want to see Jermell Charlo versus Jared Hurd. If I were to have to pick right now, you know, if you pretty much, you know, forced me to pick right now between Jermell Charlo and Jared Hurd, I'm going to have to go with Jared Hurd right now, man, for all intents and purposes. I think Jared Hurd is, you know, find a way to win. You know, a lot of people say all he does is come forward, get hit, and throws punches. But let's be honest, man, he's got a hell of a resume, man, and he's still undefeated as well. You know, and like, let's be honest, he was not the A side for some of those fights that he has been in. You know, he has been picked to lose. He has been picked to lose, similar to Danny Garcia. You know, in his, you know, coming up through the ranks, man. I mean, let's be honest, man. You know, he was not the best amateur standout. I mean, everybody wasn't, you know, lining up to sign him like they did Errol Spence when he went to the Olympics and got robbed. You know, my personal opinion is I think Jared Hurd earned everything he has, and I think he has one more, you know, he has one more thing to prove at 154 before he moves up to 160. I think that's to destroy Jermell Charlo. I think that he could possibly get that job done, man. But like I said, that's just my opinion as of right now. I would love to see how that fight goes out and plays out. You know, but yeah, man, with that being said, man, you know, like I said, I didn't get to watch the Friday night fights that they had on the ESPN3.
Corey, what
know, but I heard there were some. Oh, the Tyson Fury, there's only one Tyson Fury. I'm going to go ahead and back off Tyson Fury for a little while, man. I'm going to let him cool down, man. He's on another level right now, man. I don't condone him. I don't condone that, you know, that type of stuff he was doing. You know, but he was trying to sell the fight, and you know, like I said, man, you know, I was live on air. I was live on air for 4 hours, and I had some brothers, you know, on the show with me, and they were like, "So how do you feel about Tyson Fury now, Corey?" I'm like, I'm like, oh man, I ain't got nothing to say, man. Nothing to say. I was on mute, to be honest with you, man. Because to be honest with you, I was backing, you know, Tyson Fury so much. You know, I thought he. To be honest with you, I'm gonna break it down to you. I'm gonna break it down to everybody on the panel like this, and everybody at home watching right now. When you think about what Tyson Fury has been through, you know, being out of the ring for 2.5 years, being out of the ring for 2 years straight. Not even thinking about the ring, doing everything that you could possibly do to screw up your body, he's probably done. With that being said, you know, with only a 5-month camp, you know, and 5 months of training, he lost over 100 pounds, you know, and he did get back into the ring against a guy that was, you know, 23-1 with 21 knockouts, his only loss coming to a world champion fighter, currently Emmanuel Char. What did you really, really, truly, as a boxing aficionado, expect from Tyson Fury? Being out of the ring for that long, physically. Mm-hmm. I mean, because to be completely honest with you, I didn't expect a whole hell of a lot from him, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I really, truly didn't. And, I mean, I think that what he did was he, you know, the guy, you know, danced around the ring for 4 rounds and finally just said, you know what, I can't hit him. I had to jump up to hit him the first couple times I did hit him. I mean, shit, I'm going to get knocked out in the next round. I'm throwing in the towel now. I can't continue. That's what happened. You know, a lot of my viewers wanted to say, well, Tyson Fury should have at least got the knockout. I'm like, you can't get a knockout when the guy throws in the towel and quits. It's impossible. Right. You'll never get one like that. I want to see Tyson Fury in there with a stiff competition. What happened?
You know what I expected from Tyson Fury? I expected him to come back to Smother Banger.
All right, man. That's my call, y'all. Y'all have a great night, man. Peace out, man.
See you later.
Corey on Corey Lee Boxing on YouTube. So there you go. And he's got a good show out there. So guys, go check him out. Real quickly, because we're approaching the 8:30 half hour here. News and rumors. We're going to go through these pretty quick. I just saw this on Twitter, and I didn't hear about this. I'm not sure who, you know, but apparently last night Mike Tyson threw a glass of water on Don King at the International Boxing Hall of Fame induction weekend. He said that apparently Don King approached him, and Mike Tyson threw a glass of water on him. So I don't know. That's the first I'm hearing about it. So. There it is.
Okay.
Mike Tyson. IBF strips Triple G of the title. The IBF has decided this week to strip Triple G for not fighting Sergey Derevchenko. I think this was a silly move for the IBF. They make a lot more money with Triple G on big fights than without him. Not to mention, he's been fighting those mandatories for years. So why he didn't have enough in the bank, I don't know. Oscar De La Hoya says that the Canelo Triple G fight is off, but he stated that De La Hoya said he's walking away from the fight, the Triple G Canelo fight, and has sent offers out to Billy Joe Saunders and Daniel Jacobs. This is interesting because Billy Joe Saunders took to social media to say it wasn't a real offer. De La Hoya stated that he'll never do a 50-50 fight with Canelo. Tom Lawler has stated that the fight is not dead. He's working with Eric Gomez on making the fight happen. He's backed off his original stance of 50-50. If the fight doesn't get made, I'm looking for Canelo to fight Spike O'Sullivan. I don't see him fighting Daniel Jacobs. I really don't.
Nope.
I don't see it.
I don't either. If he fights anybody next, it'll be Spike O'Sullivan. So Mikey Garcia versus Robert Easter is official for July 28th. The fight was announced on Showtime last night, and Katie Taylor's father was injured in the gym shooting last week, I think it was, maybe a week before. A gunman came in there and shot a couple of people. He's going to be okay. He was injured, but he's going to be all right. So the injuries are not life-threatening, and the other man was hit in the leg. So unfortunate. Not sure what was going on there. But real quick, though, what do you think if De La Hoya does – well, I would rather see a Canelo-Jacobs fight than I would a Canelo Triple G rematch. Because we've already saw that fight. Again, it's, you know, what are we going to do? But, Beeb, who do you favor in that fight?
Jacobs.
I like
Jacobs. Daniel Jacobs, without question.
That's a dangerous fight for him.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous fight for him, man. That's a good fight.
That would be perfect. That would be a perfect solution because Canelo could get taught a lesson. You use PEDs, this is what happens to you. Daniel Jacobs will tear you apart.
I'll be honest with you. I really thought Jacobs won that Triple G fight.
I scored it for Jacobs. Everybody on press row looked at me like I was nuts. When I told them I thought Jacobs, I was picking Jacobs to win the fight. They looked at me like I was crazy. And then everybody was like, man, how did you know that? You know, it was like I thought, you know, a lot of people had Jacobs winning that fight also.
Well, Eric, I've said all along that Daniel Jacobs deserves a rematch.
Yeah, I don't even, you know, if he gets a rematch, great. If he doesn't, that's fine, too. I think I'd rather see him fight Canelo. He'd get a bigger payday off of Canelo, I would think.
Well, yeah.
He might get the notoriety he deserves, too. You know?
Absolutely.
There you go. All right, guys, it's 8:30 now, so the fights are on Fox Sports 1. We're going to jump off here so you guys can get to it. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Robert on Twitter at Ringside Robert, or you can call Ringside Robbie's Corner at 917-259-1810. Leave him a message. Catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find his YouTube channel at beatingtheoddswithbeeb.com. I'm at Ringside73, and we will see you next week.
All right.